He was raised on a ranch in Oregon, so he knows how to run and chase cows and whatever they do on ranches. I don't know. But we'll find out.
Okay, and later in the show, we'll also be talking to Robert Morton. He's a partner in Power Supply. You may remember they were on our show quite a while ago. They prepare tasty, healthy meals that are created by local chefs, and they deliver them to your gym or yoga studio. They actually have a new cookbook, and we're going to hear all about it.
Which presupposes they can find me at the gym.
Right, exactly.
Whatever, dude.
It's not for you.
Oh.
And Halloween is right around the corner. Are you ready? We certainly are in studio, because we've got our seafood, we got our beef, we've got our healthy dining, and then we're going to finish it off with some chocolate. Healthy chocolate, of course, with Nisha Sadhu. You know her of Coco Sala. She brought in a whole array of Halloween treats for a very serious palate. And lastly, what? Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just looking at you.
Oh,
I just
nice.
Like you.
That's so nice. Thanks,
that's
honey.
That's sweet. I'm
okay.
Great. I love me.
20,000 bottles of great wine. How much would that be worth? Probably about $1 million. Well, we're going to get the final numbers from that from Chris Clark. He's the wine director at the new Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse. That's in the city center. And if you haven't been down there, it is fabulous. Come on, Chris, stand up to the mic. Let's get started with you.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the new property at the city center.
Oh, well, we're just so excited to be in Washington, D.C. We signed on the project what seems like years ago, and we're finally now open as of September 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Three different stories of dining, you know, as many experiences as you could guess in 18,000 square feet of seating, 400 plus seating at once. We've got multiple dining rooms, multiple kitchens, and we've got a bottle for every occasion. So we've got
pretty much a bottle for everyone in Washington.
Right. Yeah, we do.
Literally.
Five different cellars, prime temperature zones for them all, separated by varietal region. We run the whole gamut back to the 60s, so I've got bottles alerted myself, for sure.
You think the problem with Congress is the reason they can't get anything done is they're all smashed when you think about all the...
No, well, maybe they're not drinking enough.
Maybe they're not drinking enough. That's possible.
They could
well,
come
let's
to
talk a... about the wine offerings that you do have. I mean,
sure.
$20,000 is 20,000 bottles is so massive. How do you streamline that?
Well, you know, we just take it one bottle at a time. We certainly, California's king for us. We do have some really strong offerings in Bordeaux and Burgundy as well. So we pay a little bit of homage to the old world. And then we've got, you know, fun offerings like some of the ones we brought today that you can come in and grab the burger. Mm-hmm. He so famously loves,
right.
And for, you know, $15 and some, you know, fun $40 bottles too. So we've got $10,000 bottles and we've got $40 bottles.
So. I'll take the $40 bottle.
No
to
kidding.
Go.
All right. So what are we going to taste first?
Today we've got a whole little lineup. We're going to start with the La Cana. It's Albariño from Rias Baixas.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the north west coast of Spain. It's known as the Green Valley, very fertile plain, but with some nice ocean influence. So you'll see a nice minerality and salinity through it. And something like this will run you about $45.
Okay, great. So, all right, well, while you're pouring that,
excellent.
We're going to get started.
All right, so Linda Cornish is the executive director of the Seafood Nutrition Partnership. October is National Seafood Month, and it's probably a ripe time for you because we are in the middle of kind of a food crisis, an eating crisis, a nutrition crisis in America. Is that what spurred all of this?
It really is, David. And hi, Nikki. Thanks for inviting me on the show. You know, the 2010 dietary guidelines for the first time recommended us to eat seafood twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But not very many people know about how healthy seafood is for our heart and brain. And 2/3 of Americans are now overweight or obese. And so this is the right time.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
It's because you're right in front of her.
Oh.
And you take up a lot of space.
So I think there is an awakening. I mean, with the guests you have on the show today, we have an awakening in terms of how food affects us and how we feel. And so everything that we put into our bodies makes a difference. And also, you know, great wine is very similar that I'm handed here.
Right.
Also, a good analogy to seafood. There's 1,800 species of seafood that are commercially available, and it's a lot like terroir for wine. There's a miroir for wine for seafood.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be more adventurous with eating and try the different species that are available, and then you can taste also the waters where it comes from, and also learn about the harvesters or farmers that brought the seafood to the table.
Well, let's talk about some of those fish facts, because I think, you know, there is so much information out there. And for people who don't understand all the different fish, how do they get educated? How do you guys help people get educated on all these fish?
So for this month, we are kicking off our two cities where we're conducting public health education campaigns. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a start of helping people understand, one, that seafood is healthy and don't stray away from it. There's a lack of confidence in knowing how to buy, cook, and either order seafood and eat it because of the different textures of seafood. Some people are afraid of it. But I think it's understanding why it's healthy and trying it at different restaurants if you don't know how to cook it at first. And then going to the market and trying, you know.
When we say healthy, what does that mean? So for people who don't know, I mean, I think we all grow up hearing like fish is brain food, mm-hmm. and you should always eat fish. But what is it? What are the health benefits of fish?
You know, fish is rich in omega-3s, vitamins, and minerals. And there's about 20,000 studies that have been conducted since the 1970s about how healthy omega-3s and seafood are for our health. Mm-hmm. By eating a rich Mediterranean diet with seafood a couple times a week or more, you can reduce your risk of heart disease by 30 to 50%.
All right, but now let's scare the crap out of everybody. Okay. Ready? Because one of the stats that I found in your materials is that notwithstanding all of that being true, that Americans eat 10 times more sugar than seafood, 141.6 pounds of sugar a year versus 14.4 pounds of seafood.
Out of the 2,000 pounds of food the average American eats a year, seafood is the least consumed food group out of that poundage of food.
Now, when you say seafood, does that include shellfish?
It includes shellfish.
Even though they're high in cholesterol, though, aren't they?
And now that's a common misunderstanding. Cholesterol is generated in the body, so it depends on what you eat. The cholesterol in the seafood, when it's a serving of shrimp has some cholesterol, but it can turn into good cholesterol. So it depends on the amount of seafood that you're eating.
All right. But so a long time ago, we had a marine biologist on the show, and we were talking about, the oceans being overfished. And there was a report in the Post that said by 2047, the oceans would be fished out. Is that?
That's not true. I think.
No. I think you're confusing some of the information. The information was not all fish because it was more about the fact that we're not eating a varied group of fish. We're sticking with the ones that we know, especially here in the States and even in other countries. So it's the tuna, it's the salmon, it's these fish that we know. And it's about introducing our palates to other fish so that we don't overfish.
I think it's important to note that's the first time I've ever been wrong.
Today. Just today.
Well, Nikki, that's true. In America, Americans only eat about 10 species of seafood. And I just mentioned that we have over 1,800 species of seafood. And so it's important for us to be, adventurous with trying different types of seafood. And you're getting different minerals and vitamins and all the omega-3s from the different species.
Can we get them?
Yes,
or are they
can.
Mostly just bringing in what we're used to eating, salmon and blah, blah, blah?
There's a great variety of seafood here. Even in D.C. across the country, seafood comes fresh, frozen, and canned. And mm-hmm. so if you look at, we were just talking about being in Italy, and there's a great culture of...
Because you're trying to rub it in that you just got back from Italy. We know. Go ahead.
They have a great culture of eating a variety of seafood. And here, I think many of us just didn't grow up with it. And so it's really an introduction of helping our palates, love that great bite of seafood.
So,
but I think also some people are afraid of cost of fish. So what are some, can we help people who are trying to introduce fish more into their diets? What are some good economical ways to bring fish into your diet? Because, if you go to Whole Foods there's not a lot of fish places to go to. There's not a lot of, there's only a few butcher shops. There's mm-hmm. only there's not a lot of fishmongers in D.C., so some of those sticker prices can be really high. So if you're trying to introduce fish, but you on a budget, what are some ways to do that?
I tell people that there are fish options for $1 and up per serving for mm-hmm. people. And so, some of the best ways to incorporate seafood more economically is through a salad with some, tuna and olive oil or, there's mussels and oysters and crab that you can get from canned.
Does freezing it change the health value?
No, it does not. And there's flash frozen at sea technologies that have been around for over 10 years. And so they freeze it right on the boat and bring it to you, to the grocers. And so buying it frozen is a very economic option. And mm-hmm. as well as knowing that there's a season to fish. And so many times people will want to go with their recipe and say, okay, I want to make this recipe with this particular fish. when in fact there might be some things that are in season and more cost effective. And so the best advice I have for people is to get to know their fish guy at the counter or fishmonger. Mm-hmm. Here in DC, we've got ProFish, and they have a director of sustainability that's bringing in great seafood. And so I think get to know the fishmongers and also restaurants.
They are frequent guests on
is a good friend of ours. But, I think what's also interesting is finding out who you can talk to, knowing your fishmonger. But I also think lots of the chefs in D.C. are playing with new fish mm-hmm. because they are being introduced to it. And that could also trickle down. And I do see places like Whole Foods and other markets, they do tastings of new fish that they have as a way to introduce people
so
to fish.
So we've got about a minute. Tell us about the Seafood Nutrition Partnership's battle plan for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a national public health campaign to about 10 to 12 cities in the U.S. And this October, we've started with Indianapolis and Memphis and kicked off with the Day of Seafood, where the restaurants came out with a dish, and having public officials from mayors and senators talk about the importance of seafood. So it's really getting everybody in the community talking about how important this is and getting that first step to incorporating seafood twice a week.
Sounds to me like they need an ad agency. I'm just saying. I just happen to own one, just in case.
Oh, my God. You're so embarrassing.
I know. It's disgusting.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. This is really interesting.
Thank you.
I think what I found really interesting is that for me, I always think if I'm going to eat fish, it has to be fresh. But you're saying that you can still get the nutrients you need by canned or frozen as well.
Yes.
Very cool. Good.
SNP's web address. Let's give it out.
Seafoodnutrition.org.
Excellent. Thank you so
much. If you can't spell that, forget it. Eat sugar.
Eat some seafood.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
It's the end of the year, and federal employees are thinking about where to contribute for this year's combined federal campaign. This year, consider donating to the Capital Area Food Bank, a local charity that distributes 42 million pounds of food each year to the greater Washington, D.C. community through its network of 500 food assistance partners and its direct food distribution programs. Help the Capital Area Food Bank empower the community to take action to solve hunger. Visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org. That's CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Lean beef is a great source of essential nutrients like protein, zinc, B12, and iron. So whether you're just trying to build a stronger immune system or you're in training for the Marine Corps Marathon, beef is the fuel you need for the finish. Choose from many of your favorite lean cuts, such as sirloin, filet, or even New York strip. All are available at your local meat counter. Beef can be an essential part of any well-balanced, healthy diet. So find out more at beefwhatsfordinner.com. Brought to you by the Beef Checkoff Program.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're going to go back and talk to Chris Clark, who's the wine director at the new Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse. I just found out the Double Eagle is in there because that's the most difficult shot in golf. And so I guess it's really difficult to have a terrific steakhouse, and that's how they...
It's a lot of work, my friend. It's a lot of work.
There it is. So I got a question. With the 20,000 bottles of wine and all that, when you started with the restaurant, is that your call, which 20,000 bottles to put in there?
Yeah, how was it curated?
Well, we
put
were
together?
Certainly there. I was there for about a month and a half before that, but we were in the process between our wine director, who's based out of New York, for the entire company, kind of consulting, bouncing ideas off each other. And, we have the labels that we like to carry, and then we certainly tailor the list to each individual market. We're only in 11 major cities. So we kind of like to see what people like. So we opened with about 1,200 selections. We've pushed to about 1,350 selections by the bottle now. And, we're hearing people in the steakhouse every day, and we want to be responsive to what they want to carry. So, you know, it's not just all the wines I love, or it's not all the wines Del Frisco's love.
If I come in screaming for Boone's Farm, you will...
I used to carry one bottle of Boone's Farm. For the person that makes that joke,
the one idiot.
I bring it out, and they love it every time. So, yeah, the Strawberry
Hill. You mean I'm a cliche,
Hill.
And
you
I don't know
You are a cliche.
Yet.
Strawberry Hill, right
I've been
there.
Saying that for
I'm
years.
Like, yeah, but you say clichies, and that's the problem.
That's because it's how it's spelled.
All right, so.
Well, tell us what you poured next.
So we got a little funky option here. This is Colli de Sirent from Nicolas Jolie. Kind of best known for his all organic and biodynamic farming. He still plows by horse, so if that's not old school, I don't know what is.
Hello, Wilbur.
We've had people talk about biodynamic before. It's like voodoo.
And
this,
he's the poster child of biodynamics. See, I have a book at home that I fall asleep to sometimes because it kind of sounds like that Northern California hippie commune farming book. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what he's known for. It's Chenin Blanc. It's all one single walled vineyard. So I think it's kind of a heavier acid-driven alternative to Chardonnay with a little bit of funk behind it. So it's definitely not a standard wine. It's a collector's dream. People like to store this away for 20, 25 years. But I just wanted to share it with you guys.
Well, thank you. It's delicious.
It is great.
It really is. So. What do you think, just quickly, what do you think DC's, like, what are you finding that DC people are ordering?
It's a great question. We've been seeing a lot more demand for international varietals. Strong push for Burgundy, Bordeaux, and some alternative options that in some of our other markets, honestly, we don't see the educated consumer as much as DC. So big shout out to you guys. You're just kind of exploring your palates a little bit more than some of our other locations. We tasted Albarino before.
It's a heavy drinking city.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeehaw. Mm.
They're equal opportunity with
delicious.
Their booze, too, though. They do some damage on the martinis. But, you know, we're just happy to host everyone in
I think
DC.
He was just thinking of David Hagedorn. Just all right, while we're tasting this, we're going to switch subjects. Mm-hmm. If you're watching the running of the Marine Corps Marathon next week, it's on the 26th.
Watching, or if you're running.
No, please. I'll be
you.
Watching.
Okay.
And you're going to notice that a number of runners are just charging ahead like steers at full throttle. That's because they've been fueled to the gills. Excuse me, Linda. Mixed metaphor with beef. So Kim Schwabenbauer is on the phone. She's a nutritionist and a triathlete. And Wade Foster's here in the studio. He's a triathlete who's going to run on the beef team at the marathon. And we're talking the benefits of beef for nutrition, for runners, for all of that. So Kim and Wade, welcome. I guess I want to start with you real quick, Wade. What is Team Beef exactly? You're a member.
Team Beef is sponsored by the Northeast Beef Checkoff, and it's a group of passionate runners who basically are fueled by beef. And we mix beef into the diet and run on it.
Having just had steak au poivre last night, yes, I can tell you I'm fueled by beef this morning.
Well, I think there's steak and eggs for brunch on my menu.
I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd.
So, Kim, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm well, Nikki. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Listen, give us a primer on the basics of the nutritional benefits of beef, especially for athletes like Wade.
Absolutely. Actually, beef is extremely important for runners. Believe it or not, you actually kind of to break down your own body in terms of red blood cells. So lean beef can help with obviously protein, which is really good for you, but also replacing iron, which is extremely important. So B vitamins, zinc, all really areas that runners need to work on for their immune system and just feeling good when they're out there on their runs.
Well, so for people who aren't in the marathon, but people who exercise, how can they incorporate beef in the same way?
Oh, it's exactly the same, whether we're talking about maintaining weight. It really helps with satiety all day long, meaning how you feel full. So they want to really just have it throughout the day in the correct portion sizes of about 3 ounces to 4 ounces. And you can have it for lunch. You can have, lean beef for lunch. Absolutely. Things like steak fajitas for dinner would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're talking about a filet or we're talking about, other lean beef.
Who can eat just 3 or 3.5 ounces of beef?
Well, you're supposed to incorporate it with other things, David, vegetables.
Well, with Linda here, we should have surf and turf at every meal.
Right.
Well, I think the main point is that if you can incorporate it throughout the day, a lot of people do, a lot of protein at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding with the studies is that people who control their weight and they feel better are actually making sure that they have some at breakfast, some at lunch, and some at dinner. So like Wade said, with steak and eggs, or whether we're talking about you know, roast beef at lunch and then some steak at dinner again. You know, these are all options.
So why is it good for us? What's in it and what does it do for our bodies?
Well, we absolutely need the protein. So 20 to 25 grams of protein in a 3.5-ounce serving is perfect. Mm-hmm. So looking for the protein first to help rebuild muscles. Mm-hmm. And help you feel full, so that's really important. And then the iron, like I was talking about, mm-hmm. also really, really great because iron is how we transport oxygen. So if we don't have enough iron, we actually don't have enough oxygen. So you can feel really fatigued. So iron's important, especially for women as well. And then finally, B vitamins are extremely important for energy. And zinc actually helps our immune system. So the lean beef has great zinc, and you can actually get about 34% of your daily requirement in a 3.5-ounce serving. So you can get a lot. So
it sounds like an awful lot. It's such a it's such a change, though. I feel like for years before people used to work out or do big marathons or big athletic events, you know, it was all about carb loading. It was all about, you know, pasta and eating mm-hmm. these carbs. And this is such a dramatic change. What do you think it is that changed it so drastically?
Well, carbs are still an important part, whether we're talking about grains or we're actually still talking about fruits and vegetables included in that carbohydrate label. Mm-hmm. But those things are definitely still important. They give you energy, and they should be absolutely as part of the diet of, you know, a runner or regular person throughout, you know, their week. And the day before the race also is a time to focus on carbs. But we don't need that huge carb dinner the night before that everybody thought we needed. If we're just incorporating them in our regular diet, and our training starts going down, as we call taper, so it kind of goes down a little bit lower, then you actually start retaining more carbohydrates in your body just by the training being less, so you're not doing as much. So then you kind of retain a little bit more, and you have them on board for race day.
But, Kim, here's my question. It's David Nellis. How are you? Mm-hmm. you know, well, I figured I'd say hello.
Mm-hmm. thank you, David. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Well, let's just chat. No, you know, a couple of years ago, the information was different. It was carb load, you know, drink beer, have a lot of pasta and all
beer?
That.
Oh, is that what it is? Wow.
Yeah,
it
I don't think I ever heard that. Yeah.
But I mean, no, I used to hang, well, never mind. But,
yeah, what's
but my
your point
is the information changes. Right. So how are people supposed to know what's right? Is it just right for now?
No, I mean, really, the information is ever evolving, but it takes a while to get out there. So dietitians and people like me, and of course you have your doctors and other people in your life that are helping to translate this from research to what the everyday person is doing. So there's a lot of great, you know, websites out there. The food and nutrition website, the Food and Nutrition and Dietetic Academy has some great stuff. So there's a lot of really credible websites, as well as places like the Beef Checkoff program, who have, you know, exceptional resources talking about all kinds of different things on weight and satiety and nutrition. So a lot of these great organizations are putting things together for people and just about getting the word out there.
Well, Beef Checkoff has a number of things happening at the marathon. There's the First Timers Pep Rally that you're going to be speaking at, and the Health and Fitness Expo by GE, and the Marathon Kids Run and all that. Are you involved? I know you're involved in the Pep Rally. You're speaking there. Are you involved in all these activities?
A lot of them. I'll absolutely be at the booth at the expo, which is number 320. So make sure you stop by if you're
good
in
advertising.
The area. Yeah, they're gonna be giving away lean beef sticks, so you know you can get a lot of good free stuff there.
Free stuff.
I'll be at the First Timers Pep Rally as well.
All right. Well, I want to turn this to Wade a little, only because you grew up on a ranch in Oregon, chasing cows like Forrest Gump or something, right?
Not,
just running around in the field.
Not quite. I grew up near a ranch, but helped out on it.
That killed the whole visual.
Yeah, and actually, there's a four wheeler involved, so there's not a lot of on foot chasing. Cows are actually faster than you most of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So surprising.
What got you into running? What started?
I actually started. My mom's always been a runner, but I didn't get started until college, and just started doing it for fitness and to stay in shape. And found out I was kind of good at it. I'm not winning any races, but, you know, I enjoy it, and it's kind of a way to meditate and clear the mind.
You can beat anybody in this studio, pal, I can tell you that.
You don't know. Hey, somebody looks offended over there. So tell us how you're preparing for the marathon.
Lots of running.
Honestly,
I mean, it's my peak week was 62 miles, so that was a couple weeks ago, and I'm in taper, as Kim mentioned, right now.
So for those who aren't running a marathon and don't know what that means, can you explain that?
It means I'm going from about 60 miles at peak week to, I think I'll do 20 miles this week before the marathon. So just allow the body to recover, allow the muscles to rebuild.
So the marathon's on a fairly flat course.
It is.
So do you run hills, too, to get in shape for it, or do you sort of follow where the course is going to be?
I haven't run as many hills as I probably should have, but I've done some hill running. It's just hill running's such a great kind of additional workout.
And do you, I mean, are you, how much is beef part of your diet?
You know, it's mixed in throughout the week. It's not an everyday occurrence for me, but I'm like you, David. I love a good hamburger, and DC's got some fantastic burger spots. Also, a lot of times I'll get like a roast or a tri-tip roast from one of the stores that comes pre-marinated, and you can just throw it in the oven and bake it. And
look, he's giving cooking tips too.
No, it's awesome because
you are a Renaissance man.
It makes lunch for the week, so you can have dinner and then you've got lunch and. You know, you can easily blend in that protein throughout your week.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, the night before, what will you be eating?
Probably some steak and then, like, a quinoa or rice, brown rice, something
high
like
protein.
That, salad. I try to eat really whole and really clean. That's my biggest thing, and that's the nice thing about beef and some of the other products out there is you can eat really clean and unprocessed, so that's why it's important to me.
Great.
So have we got a website that people should check out for the race and for Beef Checkoff?
Kim?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me go Twitter first. So you can follow at Northeast Beef if you're on Twitter to hear all the stuff that's happening as it's happening that weekend, which is great. And we're using the hashtag BeefFuelsMCM. So BeefFuelsMCM for any of your tweets. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, the Beef Checkoff program is just the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So, and this is actually sponsored by the Northeast. So the Northeast Beef Association is sort of the one that's sponsoring the NCM. So follow along all week with us, and we'll be doing some really great things.
Right. So you guys will be at the First Timers Prep Rally, which is on Friday, October 24th at the Hyatt Regency. You've got the Health and Fitness Expo, which is Thursday through Saturday next week at the DC Armory. And then you've got a kids run on October 25th, right?
Absolutely. On Saturday morning, I will be there warming up the kids and getting them excited about running. And so will Miss Patty Melt. She will be also there to take pictures and high-five everyone.
Miss Patty Melt.
I love it.
What
All
an
right.
unfortunate
Patty
name
Melt.
To receive at birth.
Okay, Kim. Thank you so much for your time. And Wade, good luck next week.
Hey, thanks for having us.
This is David and Nikki Nellis. Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Come to the National Academy of Public Administration annual meeting Thursday, November 13th at the DoubleTree in Crystal City. This year's event, Public Administration 2025, How Will Government Adapt?, brings together federal, state, local, and international leaders to discuss and find solutions to the greatest challenges facing our nation's governments. The event features an impressive array of speakers from across government, including OPM Director Catherine Archuleta, OMB Controller Dave Mader, and officials from executive and legislative branch agencies. For more information or to register, visit napawash.org.
Lean beef is a great source of essential nutrients like protein, zinc, B12, and iron. So whether you're just trying to build a stronger immune system or you're in training for the Marine Corps Marathon, beef is the fuel you need for the finish. Choose from many of your favorite lean cuts, such as sirloin, filet, or even New York strip. All are available at your local meat counter. Beef can be an essential part of any well-balanced, healthy diet. So find out more at beefwhatsfordinner.com. Brought to you by the Beef Checkoff Program.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast, and we've got great food, we've got great wine, we got great everything. So we're going to go back to Chris Clark for a couple of minutes. Chris, what did you just pour? You poured something new.
Yes, I've got a little, and boy, I couldn't have asked for a better segue. We've got seafood, we've got beef,
We've got steak and beef at Del Frisco's, and this wine is the perfect one for both. So this is Domaine Henri Gouges, Les Perlieus, which is actually a French term for plum.
Why can't the French speak English? Damn it.
What's the matter with them? I asked for it. They declined politely.
Didn't we help them in World War II? Isn't that enough?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, they forget about that sometimes. But, hey, they make great wine.
They
do. This is all Pinot Noir. Based out of Neuilly, St. George, southernmost area in Côte d'Or.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a rustic style Pinot, and I think a couple people already that tasted it said, wow, this is good. That's simple enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a Premier Cru vineyard that they've owned since 1919, actually, and fourth-generation farmers, Henri, who the domain is named after, started it all right around the turn of the century, and now their fourth generation is taking control, and they're just making fabulous wines.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. You know, it's interesting. You poured two whites first, and I think when people think of a steakhouse, they think red only. But that's not the case.
That's correct. I mean, we certainly have some cuisines. We've got a strong seafood program,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we have cuisines that call for whites, and, you know, we've got these amazing seafood plateaus. I mean, some people do drink Cabernets with it, and God bless them. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whites certainly offer a little bit more variety to go with some of those, you know, stone crabs that we just got in season, or Alaskan king crab, or, you know, our shrimp
this
cocktail.
This is nice and
classic.
Peppery. That's got a...
Oh, yeah. It's got a little... They're known for being a little heavy-handed with the oak and making long-aged wine. Now, this is a bit of a young one. This one will be drinking well in about 25 years as well. So.
All right, well, we're going to sip, and we're going to continue on our health kick.
Excellent.
Robert Morton's here. He's with Power Supply. He's been in before. We're talking about the paleo diet largely, but not completely,
no,
right?
They're not really.
I mean,
it's changing a little bit.
It's paleo plus, I guess is the way you'd put it.
Yeah, you know, really what we hear from people is they just want to eat good-for-you food.
You need to be closer to the mic.
Good-for-you food is what they really want to eat, and they don't necessarily want to hew to something super specific, but so we try and make great food that's got no gluten or dairy so that people can experiment with that. But they fundamentally just taste great. So you don't have to make a trade-off between am I eating well and is it good for me?
So talk about Power Supply and you
and
know what your business model is. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, fundamentally, we're all
switch
about...
Seats.
Can you make it
live
as easy as possible
mm-hmm.
for people to eat really healthy, particularly people that are living an active lifestyle? So they don't want to give up really great tasting food, but they also want to fuel whatever they're doing. A lot of like the conversation that we've had here today. And so the other big difference with us is we think that boredom's the big enemy. And we think you got to have lots of food interpreters in your life to stay interested with your food. So we work with a network of local chefs. Some of them you have here today. One of them that's a recent example is Teaism, Allison Swope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, making these delicious meals so that our customers are not only getting different recipe items and things like that, but they're getting different interpretations of great food, which keeps you engaged and keeps you at it longer.
Well, how did you come up with so people can pick the kinds of food? Tell us how the process works.
Yeah, you go online, you order
mm-hmm.
from us online,
mm-hmm.
and you order 3 or 5 day plans, and
okay.
then you pick up your food the next week where you go to workout network locations, 85 plus of them so far in this area.
Wow.
And there are all kinds of different spots, CrossFit gyms, yoga studios, health clubs, increasingly places in the wellness world.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
CrossFit's really big on paleo, right? I mean, that's their big call.
You know, paleo certainly really expanded in the CrossFit world,
mm-hmm.
but I would tell you that what I hear generally more and more is people taking those principles and ideas, but expanding their view and experimenting and finding what works for them. And that certainly has always been our view, a more pragmatic approach than
mm-hmm.
a dogmatic approach.
How do you manage the back end of that?
It's complicated.
Delivering fresh food to 85 locations, you said?
85 different pickup locations in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area.
How many miles do you have on your car, man?
Yeah, geez.
I mean, how does that work? What's your delivery? Who delivers all that?
Yeah, so it's a lot of logistics wizardry.
Mm-hmm.
And fundamentally, our network of
you
chefs...
You do it by internet?
Yes,
is that,
that's right. The web machines. the chefs make the meals every week, and then we put all the orders together so that you're getting this access to a bunch of variety, but in a super simple package. And if you think about that, for active, busy people, that's a long way.
Well, let's talk about some of the dishes, because you brought some in today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give us an idea of what... people can have.
Yeah, a great example is this one that we have from Teaism. Mm-hmm. And it is a chicken bento box, which is something already on their menu. So another great example of a delicious dish that they're terrific at making, and now our customers can access. And so it has chicken, brown rice, sweet potatoes, broccoli, an awesome dipping sauce, a popular dish.
That actually almost looks like too much for a meal. I mean,
yeah. I mean, how is it nutritionally put together? Do you guys take care of that, or does the chef take care of that?
So we have a sort of guideline and profile on lots of things, both the nutritional profile as well as the kind of sourcing that we want to do to the discussions that we've had here today. Mm-hmm. And we work with chefs and say, hey, do we look at the world in a similar way on those topics, and mm-hmm. then we sort of select and curate meals that way so that our folks are getting stuff that fits that
profile. Well, and
you did a
cookbook, which I think is ambitious in and of itself. Well, how did that come about?
It's all about, can we help you eat better consistently? And mm-hmm. our chefs know lots of interesting recipes. And whether you get it from us or you do some DIY cooking of your own, staying at it is about variety. So we asked our chefs to give us a cool recipe that you could easily prepare at home. And so we're sharing it with people in this cookbook.
It's online.
We'll add to it. It's online. We've shared it with our pickup locations. I've cooked a bunch of the things. It's everything from a shake, my favorite, the matcha shake, which I cook all the time, from our mm-hmm. chef Peter, to pancakes, to dessert items, to full meals and sides. All mm-hmm. of it under this heading of, can it be really good tasting at the same time as good for you?
Nutritionally valued. Let's talk about the information that's on the dishes that are sent. What does review code mean, size standard? What do all these things mean, and how do people apply them when they're ordering?
The biggest thing that we focus on is feedback from our customers and so that we can share it with our chefs each week. So it's sort of a unique feature of a service like ours. There's not that many places where you've got that dialogue going between people who are eating your food, and every week you're sitting down with reviews from those folks saying, hey, I love this, I didn't like this.
Right.
So review code is a way for people to let us know, and we share that directly with the chefs each week.
This is yummy.
So fundamentally, it's about how can we put as much information in the hands of our customers, ingredients, all that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
so that we can constantly make the food better and better with the network of chefs.
And how many chefs are you working with?
Right now, we have 6 different meal chefs, and then another 3 or 4 chefs that are making cool things like gluten and dairy-free baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
We work with Supergirl here, who makes awesome soups.
Yeah, she's terrific.
You know, all kinds of different things, all under the same heading of, can we bring you great variety in a very simple package?
Okay, and you do breakfast too?
We have some chefs that make breakfast meals. We don't have a separate line for it, but if someone makes a great breakfast burrito that's in the recipe and is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. All right, okay, so let's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I don't even know where to start. Like the meatballs. How do you keep it fresh? That's the other thing. You know?
So everything's freshly prepared twice a week. And we say table ready as a way of thinking about you get it to your house and you heat it up and you're done.
So it's
done.
My tough noogies.
Not frozen.
If I don't go to the gym and don't pick up my food, it's bad. My bad.
Yes, it's your bad.
Yeah, you go to pick up. You don't have to be a member. A lot of people are not members. It's a place near them and they go and pick up
their
food.
Well, the gyms must love that. That's a way of reeling them in.
Yeah, it's a nice way to introduce folks to their community. So it tends to work pretty well.
It's a symbiotic relationship. I mean, most people are going to the gym, and if you know, they're rushed or they need assistance with food.
I got another pickup place for you. Are you kidding? Blush would be great.
Oh, well, that might
be a good
idea.
Great idea, Bethesda. There,
There you go. We like new pickup places.
Give me that info. All right, so how do we find you online?
MyPowerSupply.com.
Terrific.
Clever. And MyPowerSupply.com/cookbook is the cookbook,
yes, indeed.
All right. Good. Thanks so
write
much
that
for
down,
coming in.
Everybody. Thanks, man. All right, so let's talk chocolate.
No. It's totally cool to end on something sweet. It's all about moderation.
Come on, Nisha. Come on. Nisha Sidhu is the co-owner of the award-winning chocolate lounge and boutiques in Penn Quarter and Union Market called Coco Sala. And she has showed up with
lots of yummy treats.
Chocolate-O-Rama. We should get Tess in here, too.
I know. Well, she's already been in.
Robert, do you mind opening the door and yelling? Her daughter's here. She's going to taste test some of this. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and unfortunately, the show isn't a five-hour show. You guys have been there. You are the chocolate kings of Penn Quarter and now,
Union Market.
Now Union Market. How'd you guys get started?
Well, the initial concept was more of a restaurant concept and started with coffee, chocolate, and cocktails. We like to feature chocolate in many different ways.
I can't remember.
Sweet
was it your
savory.
Brother? Who did you start this with?
I started. My partner is Bharat Malhotra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
He's a very
okay.
good friend. Right. Yeah, a longtime friend. And then we have our chef Santosh Tiptur, mm-hmm. who is also a partner. And then we have Rashid, who is a partner, who is our general manager. So we started with the restaurant concept. We always had this little subset retail part of the concept featuring artisanal chocolates. And as the years have gone by, we've opened up. We have two chocolate boutiques. We're doing chocolate online, shipping throughout the U.S. We have also grown our wholesale side of the business. So we're now providing chocolates to many of the area hotels and some of the restaurants.
Now, was that part of the original plan, or did that just sort of happen organically?
Yeah, we were really fortunate. The wholesale side just sort of happened on its own. Hotels started approaching us. More of the trend is to go with local, you know. Yeah, so being a D.C. chocolatier, that really appealed. And you know, I think and I hope that the product sort of speaks for itself. I think that people are a lot more educated now with what is good chocolate, and they're just looking for higher quality ingredients. And
well,
sort of...
now's the perfect time to. We've got a minute before we go to the break, but we're coming back to you. But let's start talking about Halloween there, because you've got a hoot going on. So take
Halloween,
it away.
Yeah, Halloween is a really fun time at Coco Sala. We like to do what's called chocolate for grown-ups. So it's not just for the kids, but also for the more adventurous palate and, you know, not only on the chocolate boutique side, but also the restaurant. We decorate the restaurant with pumpkin carvings and servers dressed up, and it's just, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about what's in your chocolate and how people's palates have changed. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
It's the end of the year, and federal employees are thinking about where to contribute for this year's combined federal campaign. This year, consider donating to the Capital Area Food Bank, a local charity that distributes 42 million pounds of food each year to the greater Washington, D.C. community through its network of 500 food assistance partners and its direct food distribution programs. Help the Capital Area Food Bank empower the community to take action to solve hunger. Visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org. That's CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Lean beef is a great source of essential nutrients like protein, zinc, B12, and iron. So whether you're just trying to build a stronger immune system or you're in training for the Marine Corps Marathon, beef is the fuel you need for the finish. Choose from many of your favorite lean cuts, such as sirloin, filet, or even New York strip. All are available at your local meat counter. Beef can be an essential part of any well-balanced, healthy diet. So find out more at beefwhatsfordinner.com. Brought to you by the Beef Checkoff Program.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to chocolates and Coco Sala, I just want to thank the folks that support the show, our friends at the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, the Mandarin Oriental Washington, the Beef Checkoff, of course, Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in America.
Well, Virginia Wine Board, especially.
You New Yorkers, a bunch of chauvinists. Now, Virginia Wine Board and the American Land Board and our friends at the Realm Network, where we are also a featured show, realmnetwork.com.
All right, let's get back to Nisha.
And, you know, it's probably not hard to satisfy, you know, when you got chocoholics and it's Halloween, but you guys are doing some special stuff. So,
well, let's just talk about the quality of chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that's more interesting. Tell us about
not
the kind
me,
of
I'm a kid.
No, you're not. Tell us about the kind of chocolates that you use and, you know, how you incorporate that. Like, you made these beautiful, they look like Malamars and they're very similar. Yeah. So, you took a old favorite and redid it.
Exactly. That's what we love to do is we take like to take something which is familiar and somewhat nostalgic and sort of put our own little twist on it. And when it comes to developing seasonal chocolates, what you have in front of you, Nikki, is the pumpkin spice Malamar.
Right.
So it starts with a spiced butter cookie on the bottom, and then we add a pumpkin spiced ganache, some toasted pumpkin seeds, a little bit of Maldon sea salt. Always add salt to everything.
Right.
And we top it off with vanilla bean marshmallow, and then we dip the whole thing in chocolate.
This sounds so easy to make. I mean, I feel like I could just do this.
You could do a simplified version of it, but again, you know, it brings people back to their childhood, what they what they loved as a child.
It's a long way back for some of us.
Speak for yourself.
But then just elevates it a bit.
And so, but let's talk about your actual chocolates. Right. Where is the chocolate from? How do you guys put it together? How do you source it? How does that work?
Sure. So we like to use Valrhona Couverture. We carry a variety of different percentage content chocolates, all the way from white chocolate to dark chocolate. And then in between, you have milk and you have the new blonde chocolate that's sort of becoming more and more popular
now.
What
is it?
Blonde chocolate.
What's blonde chocolate?
So blonde chocolate is...
It's chocolate for blondes.
And for nuts.
Right. She's like, I like it too.
Blonde chocolate is actually, it's a caramelized white chocolate. So there's no cocoa content in it, similar to white chocolate. But it yields this dulce de leche type of flavor, which is really nice. So it's a nice in-between for those that may not like white chocolate because it is on the sweeter side.
It's super sweet.
Right.
I'm not
all
a
right.
white chocolate
lover. Perhaps because I'm the promoter here, we've got 2 minutes left with you. Tell us about Halloween. Let's drive the cattle to the store.
Okay. Well, like I said, we get to do a lot of fun seasonal chocolates. And one of the new things which we're doing this year is offering bars. We've become known for our bonbons, and now we're offering bars, what you've tasted here today.
Right, they're beautiful.
Is a pumpkin spice bar for this season. We have a pecan pie bar, and we have our Nana Nut Bar, which is sort of a twist on the common peanut nougat caramel candy
bar. I had a Nana who was a nut bar.
The other thing seasonally, which we're doing is we've been doing the vanilla bean marshmallow. Now we're getting into different flavors. So we've done an apple cider marshmallow and a cranberry marshmallow. And
then is that the pink one, the cranberry one? It's so pretty.
Yes, it's actually used with fresh cranberries.
Fun. So, I mean, every season you guys are adding new things to sort of kick it up a notch?
Yeah, I love this time of year because this is the start of all the various holidays. So, you know, with each holiday, we introduce new items, keeping our signature items in stock. But the nice thing about our chocolate is it is made fresh. And a lot of people haven't been able to try chocolate that doesn't have any preservatives or additives in it.
Are there going to be any more cocoa salas?
I hope so. Yeah, certainly the boutique, the retail side, there are a couple of, you know, and then like I said, we're growing the wholesale side. We're actually in the process of building a separate production facility to cater to all the needs for the wholesale business.
Because we have one chocolatier in Bethesda, but we really need some competition. Yeah.
Who's in Bethesda?
That guy on Bethesda Road.
That place closed. It's not there anymore.
It did?
So I guess we need to open in Bethesda.
I'll be damned.
He doesn't even know.
Okay. Well, last time I had chocolate. What do I know?
Nothing. Whatever. That
all
is
right.
What you know.
So before you go, where can we find you online?
We're at www.cocosala.com. We, like I said, we ship throughout the U.S. And definitely stop by the restaurant as well.
Go to the restaurant and Union Market.
Right.
Excellent.
Union.
All right. Thank you for bringing in all these goodies. I'm like
all right, Chris,
buzzing.
Pony up to the microphone again. So let's talk a little bit more about the restaurant and the chef there. You've got 20,000 bottles of wine. Talk about working with the chef. I don't even know who he is. What's his name?
Scott Croner.
Croner.
We haven't had him in yet.
On you know, pairings and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
That must be a real challenge with that many bottles of wine.
Well, it certainly opens up a lot of avenues for variety. That's for certain. I mean, yeah, Del Frisco's, we like to do wine dinners. We like to do pairings. We like to roll out the carpet for everybody. We work directly with a great culinary team. We have 4 chefs. And basically an army of people back there waiting to cook steaks for you.
With 400 seats, I can imagine.
Yeah, so. we have to have a small brigade. But, you know, it's just exciting because while we're still steak and potatoes, we're still culinary focused and, you know, coming up with new features, whether it be, you know, seasonal seafood. You know, if we're able to get right now, we have the dry aged 32-ounce Kobe long bone. So if you want to.
Is that like a tomahawk?
It is. 14-inch.
Where's
French.
That, yes. Chris?
We love tomahawks.
I'm just saying.
He's just telling
people
us.
People are
you hiding that?
Big beef when we give it to them.
We'll take it.
Yeah. It's just fun to have all those
all those weapons in the chamber ready to go. I mean, we can really kind of customize your dining experience however you like. So,
Let's talk about what you just poured.
Yeah, I bet you want. That's I was going to say. I bet you want to know about what you're drinking. And this one's certainly a crowd pleaser. I already had a couple of people say, "Wow, this one's really good." Yeah. So this is Schaefer 1.5. They're best known for their Hillside Select. Mm-hmm. Their 1.5 is John and Doug Schaefer. Kind of represents one and a half generations of winemaking, which is a little bit rare in Napa Valley. This one's nestled right in the Stag's Leap District, so kind of just off the valley floor. I know a couple of you said that you've been there. This is quintessential Stag's Leap District cab. So okay. I hope everyone's enjoying it.
Absolutely.
And it goes great with the chocolate.
I think they
it
still
does. It's perfect that. With the chocolate. What?
I think they still remember us there.
So, okay, go ahead.
No.
Well, so with this huge selection, and you get a lot of people, wine snobs who come in, you know, who think they know what they're ordering.
We haven't seen any of those.
Oh,
that's
come
weird.
On.
I'd like to introduce you to Nikki Nellis.
I'm not a wine snob. No, that is not true. No, I'm all about being helped and having the best wine and the best experience.
Well, we've got a great sommelier team. I'm just one of the members. Mm-hmm. We also have two other full-time sommeliers. So, I mean, you could dust the sleep out of your eyes and go in there for lunch, and you'll still see a sommelier.
Okay.
So it's not an overwhelming book where we just throw at you. There's one there 7 days a week, so you can always ask for assistance. And like you said, I mean, we're approachable. Not every bottle is a screaming eagle. You know, we mm-hmm. understand that. We understand there's, you know, there's every stroke for different folks. So we want to really kind of help kind of get you what you're looking for, maybe keep you in one that you're familiar with, try something new. It's really just kind of a great list with that kind of breadth to explore new options or, you know, feel very at home. So I think that's important.
Let's do the basics: street address, web address, you guys take reservations, all of that.
Absolutely. We're on OpenTable. We're at 950 I Street in the new city center. We got a little three-story building right there in one of the biggest spots in city center. Delfriscos.com, that one's not too hard, and that is with the S. So check us out on there, and then that also kind of highlights our other 10 locations. So
very cool. Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope everyone enjoyed the wine.
Absolutely.
We do. Kind of what we do. So.
You kind of have a Willem Dafoe delivery. Have you noticed that? Am I the only one that sees that?
I always get, where is my accent from?
Yeah, where is your accent
from?
Well,
I don't know. I was born in the geographical center of the United States, so I guess I can pull
what
from
What is that, Kansas?
Exactly. Yeah. Kansas City.
Kansas City, Kansas?
Well.
Missouri.
Kansas side.
Oh, the Kansas side.
Yeah.
I was going to reminisce about Romanelli Plaza with you, but you're from the Kansas side. All right.
I was 0.6 miles from state line. So I have seen Missouri as well.
Okay.
So,
yeah. It's like Sarah Palin. From your house, you can see Missouri. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a fun show. We hit beef. We hit fish. We hit running. We hit wine. We hit chocolates. What else did we hit? That's enough. Nikki's going to hit me. Everything that you heard about on the show today can be found on Nikki's website with a lot more information about what's happening across the area's food and wine scene. That's the list. AreYouOnIt.com.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike many things in this life, it's free to subscribe. So go on there and find out what's cooking. You can follow Nikki on Twitter. You can hear her on WTOP. That's 105 FM every Sunday at 12. 103.5. Yeah, I got a shake off from Andy there. 103.5 FM.
Thank you, Andy.
At 12:50 and Thursdays at, what are you now, 12:10?
I'm at 12:10. I've always been at 12:10.
Now she's always been at 12:10
mm-hmm.
on 103.5, and that's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got. And, of course, did you talk about Twitter?
I
Instagram?
Did.
Okay, good. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Nikki Nellis. And we want to thank all of our guests for coming in today. It was such a fantastic show, so thoroughly educational and a little healthy. And
I feel smarter. Do I look smarter?
Yes, you look very smart.
Thank you.
But I do want to tell you who's coming on next week. So famed cookbook author James Osland is going.